Well, I am safely returned from Boston, and I did run the full marathon, 26.2 miles. I ran very well the first 20 miles. It was the last 6.2 that were difficult, but I managed to get through. But I have to tell you, the biggest deal of my trip was not, in fact, running the prestigious Boston Marathon, but was meeting my uncle for the first time in my life. I met him up in Salem in Massachusetts. We drove up to him the day after the marathon, and it was so fascinating to watch my dad and his brother greet each other for the first time in decades, meeting one another as brothers who shared a childhood, but also delicately as if they were strangers. Siblings, of course, are a strange thing, as many of you know. Growing up, for myself, there were rare moments when my brother Jonathan and I got along. We play nice so much better now that we live hundreds of miles away from each other. But as kids, I was a constant annoyance to him. I mean, I am 6 years younger than him, after all. And he made sure that I knew that I was a constant annoyance to him. But there was one phase that I particularly remember when I would do anything for him. We weren't just tolerating each other, but I would do anything for him if only I could sit by his side and watch him play the computer game Prince of Persia. Because I just was fascinated to see what would happen next. I had no interest in playing myself. It seemed way too difficult, given how young I was. But I wanted to see him make progress. I wanted to see what would happen next, and so I would go and get him food and drinks, and I would excuse his hours of playing to my parents as best as I could. That is how I picture the brothers James and John in this story. Not for one another, but how they interact with Jesus in this moment. They are so desperate to be with Jesus when he succeeds, when he gets to the prize that they've been working towards as they imagine it. I think too easily we assume they're only interested in power, that they want to rule alongside Jesus, but I don't think they're like characters on Veep. With no interest in real service. I think they just want to serve Jesus, who they have great admiration and respect for. They want to see Jesus keep going. They want to stay close to him so they don't miss out on anything. They want to see him go all the way, bring the kingdom, reign in glory. It's too easy for us to dismiss James and John for wanting power. We're so used to people in this world doing anything out of greed for power or money or fame. But what if James and John just want to see Jesus succeed? And they have to reckon with the idea that the end of the journey is not a throne, but success for Jesus is in fact a crown of thorns. They truly do not understand what they are asking for. If they were to sit beside him in his glory, they too would die as he dies. And so Jesus redirects their interest to say, no, what you are called to is to join in the work that Jesus has demonstrated. They don't understand that they are not only to serve Jesus, but they are called to serve as Jesus, to join in his work. They are not serving Jesus so that one day they can rule alongside him. They are serving Jesus so that when Jesus is no longer there in the flesh, they can pick up where he left off. I am convinced that I could have stayed next to my brother, virtually comatose, watching him level up in Prince of Persia, so long as there were more levels to advance in. But watching can never replace joining the game yourself. We can, and we should, marvel at Jesus feeding the 5,000, giving sight to the blind, and giving hope to those who are oppressed. We can and should rejoice in the servant leadership of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who refused to give up on the possibility of justice for all, and Harriet Tubman, who, once free, took repeated trips back into slave territory to seek freedom for others, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who went against the tide of scared Lutheran pastors in Germany to resist and work against the Nazi regime, and Ignatius, who we pray in remembrance of today, who refused to stay in hiding despite the many martyrdoms that were occurring, but gladly took on the label Christian at the cost of his life. We could read books all day long about these great figures. We could seek out their relics. But to draw close to Jesus and to draw close to these giants of the faith is to serve as they served, to seek the kingdom for all our neighbors, no matter the cost. Rejoicing that because Jesus faced death on a cross, we too can face down death. And because Jesus lived, we know that death is not the end of the story. We have nothing to lose when we're willing to lose it all for the sake of the gospel. These brothers, James and John, will get what they asked for, even if they didn't understand that the throne of glory would be so long delayed. And we too will one day gather around that throne of glory. Until then, Jesus is going to keep serving the least and the lost through you and me, through loaves and fishes, and through teachers dedicated to seeing the unseen, and through social workers finding resources for those who had given up hope, and through police officers who are determined to serve the whole community, and through elected officials who see themselves not as power brokers, but as public servants. Rejoice today. Rejoice knowing that God is still at work in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.